Let's go to the book of Genesis, chapter 3, right there at the beginning. It's just a few pages into the Bible. Book of Genesis, chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And the woman And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Alright. Satan's wiles, or Satan's tactics. Hey, how are you? I was about to wonder where you were at, and then, poof, there you are. Amen. where was I at now? Satan's tactics. Satan's wiles, if you want to. Satan's main goal is to deceive us. That's his main goal, is to deceive us. This is why we must constantly focus on the Word of God and the truths of God. Amen? Alright, Satan used truth mixed with lies. Yea, hath God said. Well, God had talked to her, and he talked about the trees. Can you eat of these trees? You know, he wasn't stupid. He knew which one they couldn't eat of. But that's what he uses it that way. Now, he was at work in Jesus' day, and he was using the Pharisees. He's at work in our day with cults. Now, don't get the idea. Who knows what the occult is, they call it? Occult. That is satanic worship. Right out front, witches and satanic worship. They do not hide anything. They are not our problem. They don't deceive anybody. They're right up front. You know, you don't even have to guess if you've ever known a witch that says they're a witch. Or if you, you know, what do they call that? Wickers. No, that ain't them. Wicca. That's all of that mess. Satanic guys, I've met some that actually worship Satan. I met one that went to the First Church of Satan, which, who knows where the First Church of Satan was at? It was in San Francisco, California, by the way, still is. Solid black, they painted it. Anton LaVey is the guy that started it. So be careful when you look at movies. Check out some of Stephen King movies. Anton LaVey's name's on there. He helped produce it. You don't fool with that stuff. But they're up front. They don't hide anything. It's the cults, C-U-L-T-S, because my southern lingo sometimes sounds odd to people. It's them that are the problem, or those that, if my wife would have said those, is those that are the problem. Because they deceive you with just a little bit. Well, yeah, we believe in Jesus. You know, but they don't believe in the deity of Jesus. They don't believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They hide these things. So they use Satan's tactics. It's been going on ever since Eve. And it's still going on today. Let's turn over to John. I like that. John.44. John 8:44 is where the verse is I'm looking for. Yeah, chapter 8, verse 44. John chapter 8, verse 44. He told the Pharisees, they had come to him, and of course they always stir in trouble and trying to get him messed up and lies and all this stuff. He said, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do." He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. He is a liar and the father of it. So it all started with him, and then all down through the years, people have used that. All the false teachers use it. All the cults use it. They use a little bit of truth to pull you in. Now, he's at work today in our society, you know, through these cults, and there's several that really, really are a real problem. But one I want to bring up because of something that I read yesterday and then I actually listened to. This certain religion has a, or denomination has a guy named the Pope. So I ain't got to tell you who he is. I actually watched him, and it translated what he was saying, because he speaks, what is it, Latin? Yeah. He said, he had these people on there showing, one of them worships Allah, one of them worships Jesus, one of them worships Buddha. Had the Jews mixed in with it, the menorah and all that. And he actually said, listen, we are all worshiping the same God. And even Buddha, and has a lady hold out a little statue of Buddha. And the Muslim guy stands there and he says, well, you know, God, Allah. And he actually said, we're all God's children. Listen, we're not all God's children. According to the Bible, we ain't. The Pharisees were not all God's children. They were children of the devil. Listen, until we get saved, we ain't. Now, I'll tell you, God created everybody. But until we get saved, we're not a child of God. So he's trying to bring the world together with peace and love. And we're all supporting, I mean, worshiping one God. He's all the same God. No, Allah is not the God I worship. Buddha ain't the God I worship. The Jews, bless their hearts, they know who the Almighty God is, but they will not accept Jesus. They got a problem, which they'll find out years from now. But I don't get into all of that. So we got a lot of false teachings going on today and a lot of cults. Now, we today can defeat Satan in all of these things that's going on. But we got to know his tactics. Now, Paul gave us a great outline and strategy in Ephesians 6. And if you want to write it down, I'm going to just turn over there. We're not going to stay there too long. But Ephesians chapter 6, and it's 10 through 18, is talking about the whole armor of God. And verse 11, he says, the whole armor of God. And then he says, we don't wrestle in verse 12 with flesh and blood, but against principalities. He said, therefore, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. And he lays it all out. Stand therefore, having your loin girt about with truth and having a breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith. But I want to get to this one verse, 17. 17 is a very important verse, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, that's where I want us to focus at, really, for a minute, is on the Word of God. All these verses work together that we've been read, that we read, the breastplate of righteousness, the shod with the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, but there ain't none of it going to do you no good if you don't have salvation. And you got to have the Word of God. So, let me read a scripture real quick. Write this in your margin out here by, where was we at? 6:17. Write this down when I tell you. I ain't telling you because I ain't got there yet. I got to double check it. I may have wrote that down. Or, no, I didn't. Write down 1 Thessalonians 5:8. Paul said to the Thessalonians, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Now, we've got to have confidence in our salvation in Christ, or we got a problem to start with. If we ain't got the confidence of the salvation in Christ, all of the other armor ain't going to work. So we got to get that down pat. Once we get that down pat, the other armor will come into play for us. Now, when I was in the military, they'd suit us up. Oh man, you had all sorts of the flak jackets and the boots and the camouflage fatigues and all of these things. And depending on what we were doing, jumping out of a helicopter, we'd have on a nice little gear and stuff so you could rappel, or either that or just they come in and they said, we're low enough, bail. 15 feet, 10 feet, it didn't look low enough. But anyway, you hit the ground running. But you had to be dressed for it. We had jump boots, and you'd suck them all up good on your ankles. So all that kept them from breaking, supposedly. And they teach you how to land and all of that. But we also, though, left with something else that I ain't mentioned. What would it be, Sammy? There you go. I won't say that. A weapon. which is a gun. Rifle. But in the military, you don't call it a gun. You call it a weapon. So my weapon was an M16. That's what it was for. Now, we can't go out into the world and we can't defeat Satan if we don't have our weapon. What is our weapon? The Word of God. He said it's the sword. And Hebrews 4:12 said it's able. It is that. Now, we talked about this the other day. We know what the body is, but what's about the soul and the spirit? I can say, well, the souls are emotions and our thoughts. Well, yeah, but so is the Spirit. They kind of intertwine with each other. But according to Hebrews 4:12, the sword is able to cut, slice, fillet right in between those two. So the Word of God's important because it's powerful. It says the Word of God's powerful than any two-edged sword. You know, and that's important. So we need that. Now again, I'm going to tell you again, we can defeat Satan, and the best example to follow is who? Jesus. Jesus is the best example to follow. Did he get tempted by Satan? Sure he did. So let's turn over real quick to Matthew. Book of Matthew chapter 4. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. So if you make it to John, back up to Matthew. Chapter 4. Now, Jesus said he didn't need to get saved, amen. He is the Savior. But Jesus had gotten baptized. The Spirit drives him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil 40 days. That's 1 through 10. And he was there for 40 days, and he hadn't had anything to eat. Now, the devil shows up. Verse 3. It says, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Now listen, he was hungry. Now I don't think that you need to go out and try to fast 40 days, okay? You're going to have problems if you do. Alright? anyway, we won't get into all that. It's okay to fast, but let's not go 40 days. But he was hungry, so he tempted him with what? Food. First thing. And Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I got a friend of mine, I hadn't seen in a long time. He used to ask people in a grocery store or wherever he's at, he'd say, man cannot live by bread alone. And if you quoted it back, he knew that, hey, you know what you're talking about. And if they just stand there kind of dumbfounded, he said, you got to have peanut butter. It's in the Bible. Check it out. And they'd walk away like, huh? But the point, his point was, they're going to go home and look that up. Because it mentioned peanut butter in the Bible. You know, what the whole idea behind him was, he was getting them in the Bible. I just got a kick out of that. Just come to me. I won't charge you for that one. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands shall they bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Verse 8, again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Now, the power of the word. Listen, we've all been tempted. A person tells me they ain't had no temptation, I'd say you ain't alive. Something wrong. Daddy, you ain't saved. Because the devil's going to tempt. He ain't got to worry about temptation on unsaved people because guess what? Unsaved people doing it anyway. He ain't got nothing to stop. But we've all been tempted. Now, of course, it wasn't like Jesus was tempted, okay? It wasn't quite like his temptation, but still the same. It's very real. And it's very dangerous for us. Now, we have access to the same weapon that Christ used. Christ didn't pull out any miraculous weapons that we ain't never heard of. He didn't use any weapons that we don't have access to. Access to, how do you say that? Access. Always get access, and accept all that mixed up. He didn't pull out any weapons that we can't get a hold of. He used the Word of God to defeat Satan in his own tactics. Now, let me tell you something. Don't play games with Satan. Look at verse 6. The devil said, this is what the devil said, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. Now look what he says. For it is written. Oh, Satan knows what the Bible says? Uh-huh. Now, you play games with Satan, he's going to jack you over. You better know what you're going to say, and that it's there if you're going to use it. An M16 ain't got no bullets in it. It's useless. It's got a plastic stock on it. You can't even use it for a good bath. You know, so what I'm trying to tell you here is we need to know the Word of God. We need to understand the Word of God. We need to be memorizing the Word of God. Because how many of us always have a Bible everywhere we go, and when we get tempted, we can go, oh, hang on. You know, that'd be like carrying a pistol without it being fully charged. What good is it? Oh, hold up a minute. Don't fire. I got to load mine. Well, what a waste of time. I'm going to take advantage of that if I'm the bad guy. Oh, sure. I'll hold on. Yeah, hold your breath. You see? In other words, we need to be prepared for what Satan's going to attack us with. So we need to be prepared with the Word of God. We need to know what the Word of God says. And I'll say it again. Don't play around with Satan, because he knows the Word. So if I quote him something and I wonder why it ain't effective, because it ain't what God said. I don't need to throw things out there that I need to know what the Bible says. Now, we all have access to the same weapons that Jesus used. Now, here's a question for you. What does Eve's temptation and our temptation and Jesus' temptation all have in common? Now, this is very important that we understand. Another point. When I was in the military again, I understood my enemy. I knew their strategy the best of possible. We studied their strategies. I understood what guerrilla warfare was. I understood how it all worked. The weapons they used, in case I needed to, I could use one of theirs. I don't want to pick one up and say, figure this out. We need to understand Satan tactics. All three of those I just mentioned, Eve's temptations, our temptations, and Jesus' temptations, all had the same thing in common. Go over to 1 John chapter 2. And it gives you all three of them. 1 John chapter 2. Way back in the back. You find Revelation, back up. You'll get to 1 John. That's the quickest way to find it. Just open to the Revelation and start backing up toward Genesis. You will find it. 1 John chapter 2. Now, if we really get this understood, get this into your mind and your heart, these things is what he uses against you. Verse 15, John said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. But all that is in the world, here we go. Here's his three tactics. Here's his weapons that he, his little traps he uses, his lures that he uses to pull you in. Lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Every time he attacks you, I guarantee you, one, two, or all three of them are involved. More than likely, all three of them. Jesus, lust of the flesh. What? stones. Turn them into bread, man. You need to eat. Well, his flesh wanted it. He hungered. Lust of the eyes. Look at all of the kingdoms of the world, Jesus. Look at all this. Check this out. There's your, now the pride of life, though. Control the world. And what did he tell Jesus? He said, if you will bow down and worship me, I will give you, I'll give you all of this. You'll be in control of all of this. And by the way, at that time, he wasn't lying. It was all his. It all belonged to Satan. It had been given to Satan. Who gave it to Satan? Adam did. When he sinned, Adam handed it over to him. Lock, stock, and barrel. He said, here, it's all yours. I'm giving it away. Because he sinned. Because God told Adam, it's all yours. This is your dominion. And Adam turned around and sinned, which in turn, he just gave it all. He gave Satan the keys, the titles, and everything to the house. The deed. So Satan wasn't joking around with Jesus when he said, hey, you want it all, I'll give it to you. So you got the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. What did he do with Eve? Same thing. She saw the fruit. Man, it looked good. She wanted to taste it. She's probably drooling like my dog does. He drooled on the floor the other day. I about fell down. Made me so mad. She was probably wanting to eat it. I mean, it looked good. And then he said this one thing to her, too. He said, oh. He said, you'll be like God. Pride of life. Oh, really? I'd be like God? What happened to Satan? Listen, Satan, think about who Satan is. Satan was Lucifer. He was a super-duper angel. I'm talking top dog angel. He had it all next to God. That's who was in control. I'm going to be like the Most High. I'm going to rise above. Pride of life kicked in. He wanted, and you know what he wants? He wants worship more than anything there is. He wants worship. So these three weapons are very important. These three tactics that the devil uses on us. It's the major three things. And if we'll understand that, we know how to attack it. I've been tempted time and time again. And it's all based on those three things. I can't even think of a temptation that's not based on all those three things. I really can't. I sat around for the last few days and I'm like, well, I was tempted this way. Yeah. I tempted that way. They all got the same three things. You know what our weapon is? It is written, it is written, it is written. And he says, by the way, he says in James, book of James 4, 7 and 8, he says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Now, here's a problem though. I've had some thoughts of mine and I'm like, alright, and I use scripture and I'm resisting the devil. I'm submitting myself to God, but the thought ain't going away. But here's the problem. I got three thoughts I jotted down. Now here's the problem with those. We gotta, what's the fancy word for it? Differentiate. That sounds good, don't it? That's it. I had to say different first to get it. Differentiate between temptation and just thoughts. I even looked that up and looked up the source, and it says obsessed. And when you look at it, you ever doubted your salvation? I have. Is that a temptation from the devil? No. It's not. Listen, I know I'm saved. The Word of God told me I was saved. That's one of them just thoughts that's going to... But you know why I doubted it? Because I sat and I listened to a preacher, and he preached, and boy, he's hell, fire, and brimstone. You better make sure you're saved. You don't want to be left here. You better make sure you know Jesus. And I got to thinking, oh, do I know Jesus? But I know Jesus. And I knew it before I went to church that day and listened to it. And then there's... I heard a sermon one day on... Husbands, love your wives. Well, I wonder if I love my wife good enough. I mean, I took her a rose a couple of days ago. She was like, I walked in the door, and I know she didn't say it. I know she wanted to. What'd you do? But she didn't ask. She said, what's this for? That was subtle. That was crafty. What's this for? I said, just because it's you, baby. Woo, did I make some points. But... I know I love my wife. There again. And I've talked to other people. There again. It was right after a seminar or a service where the preacher's fired up and he's saying, you better love your wife. Make sure you love... And I'm like, do I love my wife like I should? Well, yeah, I love my wife. I make sure she's fed, she's clothed. I mean, I take care of my wife. You know, that's not a temptation. You know, so you got to differentiate these things. Oh, I said it right. I've even asked myself that here, this question, since I've been in Wagon Wheel. Am I serving the Lord the way I ought to? Man, I could do more serving the Lord. Well, back up. Are you serving the Lord? Do you come to church? Do you read your Bible? Are you doing the things the Lord wants you to do? See, that's just thoughts that's going to come in. Because, listen, we're of a fallen nature anyway, ain't we? We are. It's only through Jesus we're righteous. So, naturally, those thoughts are going to be there. And does Satan kind of tickle them and play with them? Sure he does. But that's not really the temptations that's a problem. Here's your temptations that's a problem. First off, what we were just talking about, the biggest problem with people is they fight that. They're like, oh, am I? Don't fight it. Just accept it and say, you know what? I'm saved. You know what? I love my spouse. You know what? I'm serving the Lord. Can I do better in all three of them? Sure I can. And go for it. You know, but that's really not a temptation. Here's your problem. Here's your temptation. Temptations come in the form of pride and fleshly desires in your eyes. Evil thoughts, immoral thoughts. Things that will take the place of God. Things that hinder your life and your relationship with God. Here you are laying in bed Sunday morning. You feel like garbage. You drank too much tea the night before, and I've been there a lot. And you fought all night to sleep, and the devil says, they'll be all right. Snooze, man. You deserve a break. You know, good. Great. It'll be, you know. That's a temptation to lay out of church and leave God out of it. Hey, you ought to go down to the bar, man. You ain't got a drink, but there's a lot of people down there you could witness to. You know what? Hey, what is a better place to witness than a bar? But here's the problem. I'm compromising. Well, I don't drink alcohol. I'll order a Dr. Pepper. What they going to give me a Dr. Pepper in, for one? It's going to look like a whiskey glass. Somebody going to think I'm drinking. But even though... You know, I keep on and keep on. Eventually, you may get weak. Well, you know, maybe a little Jack and Coke wouldn't be too bad, or rum and Coke. Whiskey sour wouldn't be too bad. But then here comes another temptation. And it's funny because I heard the song the other day. I'm flipping through some channels and I found this one country station and it's way back. Jenny C. Riley and George Jones and Roy Acuff and this dude comes on there. Anybody ever heard of Buck Owens?
Yeah.
Well, no, it wasn't Buck Owens. Charlie Rich. And he come and the song come on. And I heard it crank up. And I said, I know that song. All of a sudden, well, the girls all get prettier at closing time. Listen, I ain't got no intention of going down there and picking up a honey. But guess what? You get the right amount of stuff in you. Right amount of I knew an old guy used to say the devil is fire water. You get the right amount of that in there, and it's hard to say what you're going to do. Because you compromise. That's temptations. That's where the problems arise. When they come in. And we need to quote Scripture. Hey, I don't need to tempt the Lord. Oh, God will take care of me wherever I go. Well, does that mean I go down to East L.A. at 3 o'clock in the morning hollering profanities? No, that'd just be stupidity. You know, I get big. I don't need to go down here to the homeless and carry a sign that says, get a job at 3 in the morning. They're not going to see the humor in that. You know, and so that's tempting God. I don't need to do that. It is written, it is written, it is written. If you really want to defeat Satan, you got to get it down pat that, listen, he's got three little old tactics that he comes after you with. And if we'll use the Word of God, we can defeat him. We can get around all of his tactics if we'll use the Word of God. Write this one down. I ain't going to go there because it's time. But Mark 7, Mark chapter 7, or you can even read it in Matthew chapter 15. The disciples were walking along and they're going through a cornfield and they pulled off some corn and they shucked it down and they're eating it. But the Pharisees said, you need to be washing your hands. That was one of their added laws. You eating with unclean hands, unwashed hands. And Jesus talked to them about it, and Jesus said, look, that's men's tradition. And then he told them, he said, listen, there is nothing unclean to you. Well, now, knowing the Jews' dietary at that time, and all of that really didn't change till Jesus nailed it onto the cross, and that's in Colossians if you want to find it. He said he nailed all that mess to the cross. But Jesus said, all of this is clean. You ain't going to wash your hands to eat. You can eat whatever you want. I'm personally not into rat on a stick, but you need it. It ain't unclean. All of those things. Jesus said, listen, that don't affect you. It don't defile you. What I take into my body doesn't defile me. It goes to the stomach, and then we don't have to know where else it goes, do you? He said it goes down the dunghill. This is what defiles you. It's what comes out of your mouth. Your heart, that's what defiles you. So that's why I tell people. I've had people say, you find it in the Bible where the Lord says don't drink. Well, I can find it in the Bible where it's not very wise to drink. Matter of fact, he said, if you're deceived by it, you're a fool. Well, if you don't mess with it, you ain't going to get deceived by it. Drugs. They'll mess you up. But here's the problem. Whiskey. Beer, wine, Percocet, Oxycontin, marijuana, anything that affects your thought pattern, that affects your mind's thinking, will defile you if taken in the right way and in the right place. Some of it all, you ain't even got to be in the right place. We sat around drinking one time, minding our business at home. I didn't stay at home long because the more I got to drinking, the more it was, the little thoughts were in there. Hey, let's go out. And we'll just leave it at that. It affects your thought pattern, which affects your heart, which things come out of your mouth. That's what defiles you. Where's the temptation at? It's all on your heart. Eyes, flesh, and the pride of life. And it all begins in that one spot. That's, if learn your enemy's tactics. Learn his techniques. When does that stuff come across to me? Most of the time, if I go to a classic rock station on XM radio, man, there's a song comes up and boom. I start thinking things. I'm like, well, wait a minute. We'll change and go to this one. Or I'll turn it off. Because he starts working. He's like, ooh, cast out. Give it a little pop. Man, them bass eat that lucky 13 up. That's the flesh, the eyes, and the pride of life. I'm going to eat that thing. It looks good. I like it. And he's got you. But if we'll remember the sword, it is written, it is written, it is written. Man, you'd be surprised how far we can go in life and defeat Satan on all these stupid temptations. Jesus did it, and he showed us the perfect example of how to do it. Let's stand.